Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler and this is episode number 92. Great to be back. The podcast is back. We hope you've had a good July and August. It's been a little while since we had a podcast, but the summer is always a little bit slower in terms of podcast and newsy things, but we have plenty of news for you on this episode. It's all Braille on episode number 92. Ed Rogers and Stephanie Sargent from Bristol Braille Technology will be talking to me about the Knute console device, which is just entering our product portfolio at Sight and Sound Technology. Stay right where you are. Podcast at sightandsound.co.uk is that all-important email address if you'd like to get in touch. We always love to hear from you. It is very nice to be back. And the summer has been a bit of a washout, hasn't it? Here in Ireland, anyway, it was very little nice days. We got sun, and then you'd sort of say, oh, the sun is nice, I'll, you know, dress for the sun. And you head out, and 10 minutes later, you're drenched because it's raining. So that was the kind of summer we had in this part of the world. Where you're listening, maybe it was slightly better. I hope it was. We're entering a very exciting time for Braille. Braille 200, 200 years since the invention of the Braille code is about to get going. Our friends at RNIB are starting that off, of course, from September of this year, running right through to the middle of 2025. And we have a load of new Braille products entering our portfolio. If you listened to our podcast episode from Sight City in Frankfurt, you would have heard some of that already. I was talking with Orbit Research and I was talking with Harpo. We haven't yet caught up with Bristol Braille Technology, and Bristol Braille Technology have been doing and looking at multi-line Braille for a very long time. I first met Ed Rogers from Bristol Braille Technology, I do believe it was in 2015. I wasn't even working at Sight and Sound at the time. Ed came over to Ireland to show us a very early prototype of their vision for multi-line Braille. And the Knute 360 has been on the go for a couple of years. And last year, Bristol Braille Technology launched the Knute console, which brings the Knute 360 multi-line e-reader to a new dimension. We're delighted to be taking the Bristol Braille Technology product line into our portfolio here at Sight and Sound Technology. And you're going to hear lots about multi-line Braille from us in the next little while, because it is a very exciting time for Braille. Now, in the middle of July, I went over to Bristol to an event that was run by Bristol Braille Technology, and I sat down at the time with Stephanie Sargent, who's, I don't know her exact title, and I might get in trouble for calling this, but I'm going to call her community ambassador or community manager, because she's really good at pulling people together and arranging events and taking and acting on feedback from the community as Bristol Braille develop this technology. So let's call her a community ambassador, a community manager, because that's what she does really well. I sat down with Stephanie and I had a chat with her, and we listened to that piece first, and then we're going to have a chat with Ed Rogers. So here's my meeting or my chat with Stephanie Sargent at Bristol Braille Technology. Well, you join us at the headquarters of Bristol Braille Technology in Bristol in the Braille Innovation Centre. I'm sitting here at the moment with Steph Sargent, who is part of the team at Bristol Braille Technology. In the background, with some nice music playing, and indeed you may hear the Knute console as well in the background as Ed Rogers is working away. We'll talk to Ed in a while. Steph, first of all, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to chat.
Morning, Stuart, and everybody else.
Listen, you've been around this sector for a long time. In fact, you and I were only chatting off air because we had met in our previous lives a long time ago when you were doing something very different.
Yes, I worked with screenreader.net and developing Thunder, which is a precursor to NVDA, the free talking software, and that was great fun. We were at Sight City in Frankfurt at the time that Stuart mentioned, And before that, I was an analyst programmer for about 20 years.
So you've seen technology develop a lot, and you've seen a lot of change. Does it still excite you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think it's amazing. And the Canute console is the first affordable multi-line braille display that's also got a monitor to display exactly the same information if you're in computer braille on the screen as you've got on the braille display. So it means that blind and sighted colleagues can work alongside each other following the same data, which I think is really cool. And now the Canute console connects to the internet, and you can download maps and music and maths, because braille music is so much better with multiple lines.
Absolutely. This whole thing, though, of the point you've just made about blind and sighted working together, looking at a screen, and it has always been a challenge, hasn't it? Somebody sitting beside someone and saying, well, I can see this, and the person says, well, I can't touch it, or I can't hear it with my screen reader.
That's right.
Now you can say to somebody, it's on the fourth line down on the screen, you look at the fourth line on your Canute console braille display, and there it is.
Yep, it's brilliant like that.
What type of applications, what type of tasks do you see people using this for?
Well, we already have people using it in computer programming. We had a guy visit us who tested it out for computer-aided design. And with software development, that would be a very useful application. We've had people ask if they can use it for PowerPoint slides. And that, again, that would take more development, but it is a possibility.
Okay.
And the thing that I love about it is that it's a new concept, that the multi-line braille display is just so much easier to read for pleasure than just one line of braille that you have to keep refreshing.
Now, I suppose the other question to ask you, and I know you're very much part of your role here is kind of coordinating and working with users and talking to the community, but how much of a learning curve is there in something like this?
It depends where you're starting from. And, well, for instance, I demonstrated it to a deafblind guy who was wanting to buy one, because they can't listen to audio, so it's even more important if you're deafblind. And I was spelling into his hand how to use the Canute, and by halfway through the demonstration, he'd managed to find the manual on the Canute itself and worked out for himself how to use it. So that gives you some idea of we've developed it as simply as possible.
Okay. And then there's the maybe what I might call the more traditional things. I was having a play with this earlier today.
Oh, yes.
You know, going into a text editor and just writing as though you were in Word.
I know, it's fantastic, isn't it? And you can use the sideline buttons. Mm-hmm. There's the lines are numbered 1 to 9 down the left-hand side, and BRLTTY works so that if you press one of those, you can move the cursor to that line. Have you tried that yet?
Yeah.
It's very
good,
isn't it?
You've been on this journey, I know, for a long number of years with Bristol Braille. You've been working away. You've been seeing this stuff develop. I mean, when you started and when multi-line Braille was kind of first talked about, did you ever think we'd get to where we are today?
I always prayed that we would. But there were moments when we thought, oh, help, is this going to be possible? Because doing it from a very small company is always a challenge. Obtaining grants for development and research, and but that's what's been exciting. I love the fact that Bristol Braille work so closely with the blind community. So it was my job to take it to Zambia, and Ed took it to India, and then we took it all around the UK as well. It being the Canute 360, which now is the Canute console. And it meant that people could input to the design of what they wanted and how they wanted to use it. And that's pretty unique with many companies, I believe.
Yeah. It certainly is. And I know people are coming to ye saying, I've done this or I want to do this with the Canute console. So, you know, there's people who have a kind of a very definite idea of what they wanted to do.
Yes.
And then you're sort of moulding those ideas and making something happen for them.
Yeah, that's right. And for instance, with maps, we've got a demonstration of maps on the 14th of September in the Innovation Centre. And Stuart can give you all the contact details at the end. And that the person who loves doing maps on it also asked us to do work so he could map the constellations. And Ed's been working with him closely to achieve that.
Okay, so great things coming up. And it is worth mentioning this as we're sitting in the Bristol Braille head office. You do have regular meetings, I suppose, here in the office, don't you,
for people yes. to come and look at There's the challenge. One on the 14th of September and then the 5th of October, beginning of November, the first Saturday in November, and then the second Saturday in December, the Christmas meal for all those who own a console.
Fantastic. Steph, it's been lovely to chat to you. I think we're going to hear more from you on the podcast as we go along, because we're very excited with this partnership at Sight and Sound as well. But for the moment, thanks for taking the time, and we'll catch up with you soon. Well, that was Steph Sargent. Loved catching up with Steph at the event in Bristol Braille Technology when we were there in the middle of July. Now, also delighted to be catching up with Bristol Braille Technology's founder and managing director, Ed Rogers. Ed, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Stuart. It was a pleasure.
Ed, we've been chatting with Steph about the Canute console and some of the things it can do. But I think maybe people might know you more in the past as the man who developed the Canute. And I'm just wondering how you got from Canute to Canute console, because there's been a product evolution, I suppose, isn't there?
Yes. And of course, the Canute console is built around the Canute display, as it's still the same core technology. And if you own a Canute, you can upgrade it to a Canute console using that same display. So it's an evolution out from the original Canute. And the idea of it, it's quite natural, really. When we were building the Canute Braille display, the Canute 360, we had a very tight aim in mind. We wanted to make something that worked really well at reading Braille books, well-formatted, pre-formatted Braille files, BRF files, and so on. And that's because we knew that it was a hard enough challenge building the hardware without coming up with a whole UI to be able to do anything and everything for everyone. So we built the Canute 360. It still has a very nice interface for reading through BRFs. And then we wanted to expand what you can do with it and for it to become interactive and to really start to play with the space that you get on a 360 cell Braille display, which lets you do spatial Braille programs. So that's where the idea came from, of doing another product based around the same technology, but doing a lot more and especially interactive things. The other thing that came, that seeded the idea, was wanting to synchronize a screen, a visual monitor, with a Braille display without giving more information on one than the other, so that developing something for Braille output as a sighted person would be seamless, and as a Braille user, developing something which, so that you knew the output, visual output, without having to have any sort of assistance, because you know it would be reflected exactly the same on the Braille display, that would also be seamless. And that was the other inspiration.
And that's really important, I think, isn't it? And we were talking about that to Steph Sargent a couple of minutes ago. The idea that if you're sitting with someone, you're sitting with a sighted person, maybe you're both looking at something, whether it's a piece of code or something else, and you're saying, the blind user says, it's on line 4 on the screen. It's on line 4 on my Braille display. Sighted person looks at line 4, and there they are in sync.
Yes. The same things will be on the same line. Now, of course, if you're choosing contracted Braille code, which most of the time people will be, there will be a slight out of sync across the line. But when you're doing particularly visual applications where you're using one-to-one representation, then you can be exactly at the same spot vertically and horizontally. And we've built a lot of different applications that use that as demonstrations, things like mapping and so on.
Okay. Can we talk a bit about the interface? And I know the interface is changing all the time. You're moving towards a more menu focused system because it is running on Linux, and my knowledge of Linux is very limited. What's the, and we did talk to Steph about the learning curve, but maybe from your angle as well, what's the learning curve like for someone who's maybe getting into this thing?
Let me explain what happens when you turn the machine on then. So it comes as a folded up device. The lid on the top of the Braille display folds back to show a 13-inch monitor, which is a high-contrast monitor. You pull a tray out from underneath the Braille display that has a QWERTY keyboard on it. You turn the device on and turn the Braille display on, which is embedded into the device. And then after its launch-up procedure, it will go into the same traditional user interface for reading books that our Knut 360 customers are familiar with, for reading Braille files as high quality Braille files. If you go to the system menu and exit that, or you just press the escape key on the QWERTY keyboard, then it will launch you into what we call console mode, which is where all these all interactive functions come from. This is so that people don't have a particularly high learning curve. As soon as you start it up, it has an interface with buttons on the left, which lets you select, and you have thumb buttons, and that's all you need to get started. Then, like I said, you go into the console mode and you're presented with another menu. And this time these are menus rather than of different books that you've got. This is a menu of different applications you can use, including doing word processing, looking at the various demos we've got, such as viewing back football matches as a top-down view of a game, and a star map, something we've developed to show the constellations. Those sorts of things are then presented in a menu, which you can select using the buttons that correlate on the with those lines on the Braille display to the left of the line. But like you say, it runs Linux. It has a full operating system underneath that. And at any point, you can go to the command line from this menu, and you can operate it from the command line. All these applications are built up from scratch in ways that you can, as the person using it, go into and learn how that code works and change it and relaunch it. It's our original release of the Knut console last year, 2023. It was entirely a command line application. It's us working with our users, which has built up this menu structure, which means that you don't need to know anything about Linux. But having bought it and having tried all the different applications, you may want to make your own applications, and we've made it easy for people to string together different bits of code in order to create their own spatial Braille applications for whatever it is they imagine using it for.
So is it fair to say that you can kind of get into this as much as you want? You can use it through its menu system to do your word processing or whatever else, and there's lots of applications and lots of potential, or you can get more geeky and go into the command line and do all these other things that you mentioned.
That's right, yes. And that's something that we have built up over time, because we released this with our wonderful early bird customers who worked with us to create the kind of interfaces that we need. So we're very indebted to them. And that's the way that Bristol Braille makes all of our devices. We show it as early as possible, and we get feedback, and we build the sorts of things that people want in the sorts of events that you were at recently.
Okay, and those community meetings, let's say, for want of a better word, that you have, are very impactful. I had the pleasure of attending two of them already this year, and they're really important. Ed, what is, in so much as you can talk to us, and you've kind of talked about some of the applications on the device already, the football, the mapping, there's some game, I never played the snake game before until I saw it on your device, but what's the future for something like this? What are you looking at maybe a little bit down the line?
I've been having some conversations with a colleague of ours, an ex-colleague, in fact, who I brought back in to have a chat with about this exact question. And one of the things that's become obvious to us is once we now have all these menu structures and we can build applications relatively easily, the next thing is kind of exposing a huge amount of information to people just at their fingertips in this menu structure in a way they may not be used to. So for example, we don't at the moment, we have an example of maps of certain cities, but to be able to visit anywhere in the world by typing that in and getting that map pop up as a graphical, tactile graphical map, and to be able to access all the different books on the Gutenberg library, and that to just be accessible through a menu, to be taught how to put programs together. Really, yeah, you can tell that I've got a maximalist idea of what we want to be doing with this. Underlying all of that, though, we want to make the device that people want to use, but we also have a social purpose to everything our company does, which is, it's about having more Braille, being more useful. But in particular, it's about making devices that improve people's life chances. And in this case, it's about career opportunities. So what we want is for people to get in contact with us and say, I particularly need something that can graph this data. And then we work with that person and anyone else and make a device that can graph that data, and that then gets rolled out. So the future, whatever my ideas might be, things like I said, being able to expose more and more information in this spatial Braille thing, the actual future for Dice will be driven by which customers come to us first and say, I need to be able to do this because this will really unlock the next step of my career or my education. And that will be what drives the direction of the Canute console.
Okay. There's definitely very exciting things to come. We're really excited to work with you, Ed, and the team at Bristol Braille. So we're looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to getting out and showing the Canute console to lots of people over the next couple of months. Ed, I appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Stuart.
And that was Ed Rogers talking to us via WhatsApp from Bristol City Centre, I think he was, when he did that piece. But many thanks, Ed. Great to catch up with Ed, as always. And remember, go to bristolbraille.co.uk if you want to find out about any of the community events that Bristol Braille Technology will be running over the next couple of months. Well, that's just about all from this episode of the show, but we're back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, thank you for listening. Take care and goodbye.